Well, here we are.
It is time, Simba.
If you understand that reference, you might be about the age where we should be working together. It's possible. But it is now one of 3 times a year that I'm accepting clients for my freedom framework, overcoming food sensitivities and increasing energy without unnecessary restriction. My goal for my one-on-one clients is to take them through frameworks and explore tools for achieving 50, 80, 90% of their goals in just a few months and show them how to continue to heal on their own so they don't need me anymore. Honestly, I think we're doing great one-on-one work here, helping women that would otherwise be falling through the cracks, thinking that they're just aging, that they're just moms, that they just, and it may be true that they just have stress, when really those stress hormones and their other core systems just really need some serious support and some serious love to serve them for years to come without symptoms. So if you'd like to clear inflammation, eczema, food sensitivities, or improve energy and brain clarity, I'd love to chat with you. You can book a call with me at kristabigler.com/FSS, kristabigler.com/FSS, and that link will be in the show notes.
Welcome to the Less Stressed Life podcast. This is your host, Krista Bigler, private practice integrative nutritionist, helping people across the U.S. reverse digestive issues, eczema, and autoimmunity via phone and video consult. To learn more, visit lessstressednutrition.com. Now, on to the show. All right. Today on The Less Stressed Life, we have Chris Burris. Gosh, I hope I said that right and Chris can correct me. So Chris is a mechanical engineer turned scientist turned entrepreneur. He uses a Nobel Prize winning chemical tested by NASA that's been shown to double lifespan in rats in products. So Chris is on a mission to make Carbon 60 a household name to help people live longer, healthier, and pain-free lives one dose at a time. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you so much, Krista. I'm so happy to be here. And by the way, you did pronounce my last name correctly. So excellent.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Chris, tell me what's going on here. We've got this stuff that no one knows what it is. Tell me a little bit about this. We were talking off air. I'm like, what's going on with you? Like, where did this come from? And you told me this started in engineering school as an accident,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, so I was attending, studying to get a degree in mechanical engineering at the University of Houston, go Cougs, and I had met my now business partner, Robert Wong, in our physics class, and he has an entrepreneurial background. His dad was an entrepreneur, and at the time, he was actually separating fullerenes, and we probably should segue just a little bit here. So fullerenes are the third form of carbon. You've got diamond, graphite, and now fullerenes. And the most abundant fullerene, because there's a lot of molecules in fullerenes, is carbon-60, affectionately known as the buckyball. And a quick way to kind of imagine what a buckyball looks like, if you imagine the lines on a soccer ball, those lines represent the bonds between the carbon atoms. So you have the spherical molecule of carbon. So he was separating and isolating C60 at the Texas Center for Superconductivity, which is at the University of Houston. And one of his professors was like, hey, the material at the time was selling for $6,000 a gram. So that's kind of hard to wrap your head around sometimes. And one of his professors was like, well, you're young kids. You should start a business making this stuff. And so he ran with it and kind of incorporated me because of my mechanical engineering background. And so we designed the equipment to make it. And now that's how I got involved in carbon nanomaterials.
I love that you were able to wrap that up in like a minute, Chris, because I feel like it's actually a lot more complicated, but we're like, okay, carbon, we're familiar with pencils and other stuff. And now we got soccer balls. Perfect.
Yes.
Great.
Okay. Yes.
So you were you're making this stuff. Who was the original consumer of this?
Okay, so the original consumer really was researchers around the world. We used to kind of joke, people would ask us, you know, friends and family, what do you do? And I would kind of go through that spiel. And then they say, well, what is that good for? And the kind of joke and fact was it was really good for funding. Because in the early stages, well, the guy who discovered it, Dr. Richard Smalley at Rice University, also here in Houston, He won the Nobel Prize. So he made the discovery in 1985. In 1996, only 11 years later, he won the Nobel Prize for that discovery. And I didn't know this kind of prior to getting involved in this, but an 11-year from discovery to Nobel Prize is pretty phenomenal. Typically, it's 30, 40, maybe even 50 years plus that they award it. You know, and sometimes it's after the researcher has passed away that they're actually making the Nobel Prize awards. If, you know, discovery 85, Nobel Prize 96. We started our company in 1991. And we have been manufacturing and selling it. And so fast forward all the way to 2019. And we really have two primary applications right now. One of them is the health one that we'll kind of get into. And then the other one is solar cells. There's a couple of others, but those are the primary ones. And yeah, in the beginning, it was just if you wanted to get funded, you write a research grant about the buckyball or the fullerenes, and you would get funded because it was just very exciting. One way to describe it is, the buckyball performs as well or better than the current best material in almost every application. So it makes better ink than carbon black in ink and also in tires. It makes better solar cells. It makes actually one of the applications that it's pretty cost competitive with, and so we might see it soon, is lithium and battery cells. One of the challenges with our cell phones, right, they work perfectly on day one, and then a year later it doesn't charge as much, is there's actually deterioration of the lithium in the battery. And what's amazing about the buckyball, which also makes it a really good antioxidant in the body, is it's got this six-fold symmetry so it can hold electrons and release those electrons without destroying the molecule. And so that's why it can make a good battery. And ultimately, that's why it makes a great antioxidant.
So in my brain, it's because it's so well structured, or it's just a really, I don't know, like a reliable structure. So you were talking earlier about benzene and what is benzene used in? And this is the 3D version of benzene.
Yes. Yeah. So it's one of the reasons that Dr. Smalley won the Nobel Prize so quickly is benzene is everywhere. The benzene ring is in, it's the foundation of like most medicines. It's in plastic. So you can't go through your daily life without encountering benzene. Now, benzene on its own as a liquid is carcinogenic. And so you want to stay away from that. But once you start adding things to the benzene ring, then it starts serving a lot of different purposes for humanity. And so they thought of the buckyball is this 3D version of benzene, and they could still do the chemistry on the external exterior of it, and that's why he won the Nobel Prize so quickly.
Cool. I'm going to bring that up later, how benzene on its own is carcinogenic, and then when you apply it to other things, it makes sense, because I feel like that showed up a little bit when I was reading the research about carbon-60. Like, you need to apply this properly, probably.
Absolutely. Well, that and so, you know, the study that we'll get into here shortly really wasn't a longevity study. It was a toxicity study, because they assumed that C60 was like benzene and something that you wouldn't want to put in your body.
Okay. So to recap, what started as your project in mechanical engineering school with a friend, mm-hmm. and it wasn't really meant to be long-term, but here we are talking about mm-hmm. it, you know, I think quite a while later.
A long time later. We don't need to do that math.
Yeah, we don't need to do that math. But we're talking about a long time later, and it started as, you know, kind of one thing, like, we don't even know what this is for, but we know it's going to be significant in science. Like, we know that this is smart, and we should probably get on the beginning end of it. And now it's kind of turned a little bit, I mean, we're talking about something for health and antioxidants. At the same time, we're talking about something you use to make solar energy. So, I mean, that's not things we usually put in the same sentence. I don't feel like we usually put those in things in the same sentence. So let's understand about how it became a health thing, right? Like, when did that start?
Yeah, so in 2012, they decided to do a toxicity study. Again, they thought it was going to be like benzene, so they just assume it would be toxic. And so in Paris, France, it's a peer-reviewed study. They gave one set of test subjects, which were rats. They gave one set water, one set olive oil, and then one set olive oil with C60. Again, I didn't know this until kind of digging into this. When you do a toxicity study, you don't just give a little to the rats and see if, you know, try and monitor if they're feeling, you know, if they have an upset tummy. You give a lot to them because you're trying to figure out what the safe doses are for human, or even if this is just only going to be a solar cell application, if it gets ingested, where are the safe levels, right? So they gave these rats lots of material. And then a typical Worcester rat will die at about 32 months, and they will have a known tumor count. So they'll have tumors in them. The ones that they gave olive oil didn't die at 32 months. They lived to 62 months. In fact, they killed the last rat at 62 months. So there are two rats left in the study. Those are the only rats that were left were the ones given olive oil with C60. When one of them died, they're like, okay, there's only one left. And, you know, this experiment has already gone twice as long as it was ever supposed to go. And so we're done and we want to publish these results. And those rats, even though they lived twice as long, didn't have any tumors.
So that was in 2012. So did you kind of, when did you find out about that study? And then like since then, what's happened?
Yeah. So what started happening probably about mid-2013 is people started calling us and asking, you know, how much in a dose. And you can imagine our mindset, like we sell this to research institutions around the world. They put it in solar cells. They put it in batteries. They put it in tires. When you're asking, it was a very foreign concept for us, right? And the literature was pretty clear that it was safe, but we just, our mindset was, you know, carbon nanomaterial scientists. So we actually, for the first time in company history, added not for human consumption to all of our packaging. We never had that issue prior to this. And that was in 2013. Now we did sell the kind of pre-mixed olive oil with C60 in it if you wanted to reproduce that rat experiment. And there were companies out there that were definitely selling it. You know, they also had labeling, you know, for research purposes only. But they knew where this product was going. In I don't know if you had a question there.
No, I was thinking about feeding it to my really old rabbit and see what happens.
I'm only mildly joking. Yeah, no. Like, so if you want your rabbit to live longer, by the way, I didn't mention this. The rats doubling their life, so they actually live 90% longer. That's the single longest longevity experiment on mammals known to man. The only other way to, like, and you will appreciate this as a nutritionist, right, is if you starve yourself half to death, you can usually extend your life by 10 to 15%.
Well, that's really big right now, actually, right? Which we don't want to get into because it could be misinterpreted. But yeah, that is, you know, the scientist who figured that out, everyone thought he was an idiot, too.
So if that is the only other path, you know, from a nutrition perspective, who wants to live that kind of starved life? Difference between whatever, you know, short-term fasting, and then that study was really like for the lifespan of the mammal. So 90% extension is just really a significant amount and a significant change. So in 2013, we add this to our packaging. And then in 2017, a guy by the name of Cliff High has got a really big YouTube following. He talks about finance. He talks about Bitcoin. And he started talking about that he was taking C60 and the benefits that he was getting from taking C60. And really, the industry sold out. So he just had enough of a following that people started researching and the industry sold out. Now, everybody in the industry sold out except for us because we're the largest manufacturer and distributor of the raw product, Carbon 60. And so we didn't sell out and continued to sell the oil. So coming into 2018, I really had to, I don't know, do a little bit of soul searching. I'm a carbon nanomaterial scientist. This supplement has kind of landed in my lap. I never sought it out. And I'm certainly as skeptical, if not more, than a lot of people about supplements. And so I had to ask myself really two key questions. And one of them is a moral question and the other is a legal question. Morally, do I feel comfortable selling this? So in 2018, we took off, not for human consumption, because the literature is pretty clear. And you have this rat study, right? They live twice as long. It's a non-toxic material. I take it. My wife takes it. Everybody on my team here takes it. So morally, I'm comfortable selling the product. And then the other one is legal. And so really, in this case, it's two issues. It's the FDA and the FTC. And really, I can check those boxes. We're on the right side of both of those institutions. And so in 2018, we decided, all right, let's go ahead and start selling this product.
Devil's advocate here. Can you tell me the dose that was given in the rats? And were there some issues? I mean, that was a toxicity study. And I thought some of the rats, I mean, I read it kind of quickly, but weren't some of the rats, they ended up with fatty liver or something? Do you remember?
I don't remember that particular section. I've got a director of research who I could certainly ask that question and get back to you with. What they did a couple of – actually, that one rat study, the Bati study, could be broken down into five separate studies. It was so complex. My director of research has kind of reiterated that many times. And one of them is that they gave carbon tetrachloride to the rats, which is a known – oxidant, right, which is known to do damage to the liver. And the rats that were given C60 and olive oil, it showed significant protective effects, and actually the livers recovered prior to them kind of autopsying the rats. That was not true for the rats that were in the water group.
Okay, actually, I think that's exactly what it was. And you're right, because when you're reading it, and if you aren't familiar with each one of these compounds, you'd have to go look up which each one, and that's, I recall now.
It's a lot of work.
That's actually what they were talking about was the tetrachloride. I remember that. It was like the CCL something. So,
yes, exactly.
Got it. Okay. So how much of the dose were they taking in rats, and how are you translating that to humans? Because I tell you what, the people listening to this are not going to think that that's translatable. So we'll talk about that next.
There's two things to look at. So one of them, and I have been desperately trying to find one. I'm trying to find a longevity study that's in mammals that's longer, right? And it may seem like easy. Of course, I've Googled and gotten onto the research articles, ResearchGate, and I haven't found it. So if anybody out there knows of a study that's on mammals that's longer, I'd love to know about it because I'm just not aware of it.
Got it.
And then the other issue that I'm trying desperately to find is there's got to be a known number of medical applications that you apply to rats that translate to humans, right? So is it 10% of things that work on rats don't work on humans? Is it 90%? Like there's got to be some number.
Well, I thought after they did rats, then they decide after a while you just get to bigger animals and then you decide that it's safe to trial on humans. Right?
I think they go typically they go from rats to humans. They do go from rats to humans. And so I was on the phone with a professor at DePaul University, and I asked this question. And his answer was a kind of a little bizarre, and sorry, this is going to be long and a little bit long and involved, but I think it's really interesting. His response to me was to say, well, here's the one case that everybody uses as quote unquote proof that when you do a test on rats, it doesn't actually apply to humans. And I think it was a fertility related drug. Mm-hmm. And when they brought it into humans, it had adverse effects on the fetus. And so everyone kind of holds this as the pinnacle. Hey, you can't, you know, not all rat studies are applicable to humans. But then
I'm thankful for that study because I feel like that's a deep rabbit hole right there.
This is the interesting part. So he comes back and he says, had they looked at the fetuses in the rat study that they did on this particular drug, they would have recognized that it had detrimental effects on the fetuses. They were looking at the fertility health of the mom, not on the results of the fetus. Mm. So this pinnacle, study that they use to prove you shouldn't believe rats are applicable to humans was done wrong. And so my takeaway is that almost all, and this is, again, I'm desperately trying to find this information, but almost all studies on rats are applicable to humans. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is just interesting. Rats are genetically more similar to us than to mice, mm-hmm. which is so counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So you asked about dosage. Basically, there's a way to do an allometric calculation. And what that's looking at, and really the kind of long and short of it is we have a different metabolism than a rat. We all know that. And so there's got to be a way to translate from what makes sense in a rat to what makes sense in a human. And that's called an allometric calculation. Interestingly, it's based on surface area. I'm still geeky scientist guy, and so I just find that fascinating, and that's the best kind of interpretation they have. So basically, I did an allometric calculation of what they were given, and we end up right at about 5 mL for us.
Okay, got it. For humans, but humans are all different. Humans are all different size too, So
absolutely. Yeah. So once you do the allometric adjustment, then you can do a per kilogram adjustment. And so that's, we've actually got a dosage calculator on our site.
Got it. Okay. So let's go backwards and talk about C60 more, like what's actually happening. We were talking about, you said earlier benzene was carcinogenic on its own, but when you apply it to these different things, so can C60 be both protective and toxic?
So our current understanding is C60 in olive oil, so a lipid fullerene, is protective. There's lots of kind of in petri dish studies that's actually showing it's beneficial in all sorts of ways. So one of the kind of oncology studies that they have done is that C60 not only protects the right cells, it actually increased the efficacy of the chemotherapy in taking out the cancer cells. So that's one particular study that I've read. Now there is any literature that shows that C60, that there's challenges with C60, whether it's in rats or mice or whatever, there are one of two cases that are true. So one of them is, in order to separate C60 from C70 from the other fullerenes, you've got to go through a chemical process, and that process uses solvents. If you don't properly remove the solvents, then you're actually putting dangerous solvents like benzene in your body. So you definitely need to be working with the company that knows what they're doing in terms of getting these solvents out. And every paper that we've looked at that shows a little bit of detrimental effects, actually, they didn't properly clean the solvent out of C60. Mm-hmm. And then the other situation is C60 is not water soluble. Right. So if you just drop a C60 is basically a black powder. Mm-hmm. If you put it in a glass of water, it'll just float around in the water. Right. Sure. If you can, because it's similar to benzene, you can attach all sorts of things on the outside. You can make it water soluble. But as soon as you make it water soluble, those studies show that the water soluble version of C60 is detrimental to health.
Yeah. And this isn't super relevant, but there's a lot of pretty cool supplements that have kind of come out in recent years, and a lot of them are using liposomal or kind of lipid delivery. Not that liposomal and lipid are the same, but they are using a lipid. Right. They're using a fat, okay, for
yes.
everyone listening to kind of. And yeah. when we're finding that the results are good. Like, people are really absorbing and using this better than some other ones. And I have some good theories about that with how things get into the cell. But let's talk first about, you alluded to, there's other studies about carbon 60. We're hanging a hat a little bit on this rat study because it's, you know, extremely like, whoa.
Pinnacle.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. There's other studies. Like, I found a dermatology one. So talk to me about where C60 has been studied and what you found.
Yeah, so I think there's a group out of Japan that has a kind of commercial lotion that has C60 in it. And so it's been found to have UV radiation protective properties. And then when you go from there, it really opens wide up. There's a lot of people doing a lot of research. There was actually recently a patent issued to a company called Live Pet, and they've got some anti-carcinogenic effects in pets. So they've got a particular formulation that includes C60 and have actually gotten a patent for the fact that it helps with this anti-carcinogenic aspect in pets.
Okay.
So it really runs the gamut. I mean, if we get into kind of specific, questions about, like, does it help? So maybe this is the thing, and we haven't even discussed this even in the pre-show. It's a known antioxidant and anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And the current literature on aging is that it's caused by oxidation and inflammation. And so if you've got this one component that is an antioxidant and an anti-inflammatory, then you're ticking, and it's a super version of those, then you're ticking off two of those boxes. Mm-hmm. It's important to note also, so I mentioned a 5 mL dose. When you take a 5 mL dose, even though not much C60 by weight will dissolve in olive oil, the buckyball is so small, right, that one teaspoon has more molecules of C60 in it than you have cells in your body. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around. It's just so, it's, I think it's 7 angstroms across, 0.7 nanometers across. And so it's so small that this one teaspoon could actually kind of have one buckyball for each of the cells in your body and then have some left over. Mm-hmm. One of our consistent testimonials, and this is the first time I've really kind of talked about benefits, so I do need to insert, the FDA hasn't evaluated our product. It's not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease. Great, we've got that out of the way. One of the consistent testimonials that we get is better sleep. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, sleep is so important. I think even in your practice, I think you said something about why isn't this person getting, you know, the results that they're looking for? And when you kind of identify that there's a lack of sleep, then you know that explains everything. Our consistent testimonial is better sleep. We've got people say they used to not sleep until 1 and, you know, 1 a.m. They couldn't sleep, and now they're actually able to go to sleep at 10 a.m. And I've got a business coach whose testimonial is, for 50 years, I needed an alarm clock. And since I started taking C60, I wake up before the alarm clock. I no longer need the alarm clock. Mm-hmm. And so there's something about better sleep. And again, better sleep really improves every aspect of
pretty
your
much
health.
Yeah, it's pretty non-negotiable. And the challenging thing out there in the world is that, like, I mean, I have to step back and look at the severity of what people have to deal with, right? Like, I would never, there is never a time where I would run out of people to help, right? Because everyone needs something. So if we can do things that are safe, that help, but it's fun to know. I prefer to know the mechanism of action. And I don't think we know that yet, besides the fact that it's antioxidant and just protective. Yep. Now, I will tell you, Chris, I work in dermatology quite a bit, right? So I do a lot of GI stuff and then also skin stuff. And so I'm reviewing a study right now in experimental dermatology about fullerene C60 with cytoprotective and cytotoxic potential prospects as a novel treatment agent in dermatology. It's actually really nicely written for like a layperson because it's well organized and it kind of goes through like it pulls out. It's sort of like a summary of other research, right? It's like, here's what we noticed when we topically put it on alopecia, which is hair loss. I mean, that's like a big deal. We noticed that in rats, like it started to regrow hair. Like, here's what we noticed on some other things. So if nothing else, here's what we noticed with acne. Here's what we noticed after a laser treatment. Here's what we noticed in wound healing. Like that, all those things alone are kind of a big deal. I might be trying this out on some different things, because when we're working with skin conditions, I really believe that we've got to deal with the inside, but of course we want to help mitigate things externally as well, if
take
possible.
Take care of some of those like obvious symptoms. So I want you for just for a second to put on my hat. Right. Mm-hmm. So my hat is carbon nanomaterial scientist, you know, not for human consumption. And then I read articles like this, which have a lot more credibility, right? Because it's an article. But I'm getting testimonials every day that are blowing me away, and I don't know what to do with them, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like, great, I'm glad you're getting, you know, pain, inflammation has helped you with the pain that you're experiencing, because that's a consistent testimonial. But I don't have a study on it, and I don't know what to do with it, and it's really tough for me, because I want more research, and it's also in my lab, so I don't know. It's just, you know.
I love that you just said that. Make sure you say that in any other podcast interview. Like, well, it's almost like this is choosing me. because I'm hearing this, and it's a complicated thing, because everyone's going to complain about how we need more research, which, I mean, we get, but it's a challenge, because you're sitting here like, oh my gosh, it's so positive. I get it. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the, you know, takeaways here. Are there a lot of C60 products on the market? You kind of sounded like, hey, you guys were the biggest purveyor of C60, and then you decided, okay, we can use this for human consumption, and then it turned into a supplement. So talk to me about the C60 products on the market. You know, the concern is it's so small. Of course, it's not regulated. Not that I'm like advocating tons of regulate. Like, I just want what people say is in something to be in something, right? Like, at the end of the day, that's what I'm looking for, and that's not regulated around. So that is the concern. So let's talk about safety and what's out there.
Yeah. So your statement, you just want to make sure that what's said to be in something is in something. And I've actually got a couple of YouTube videos out there. There's a particular product, and it's well placed on search engines, right? So that's kind of unfortunate, because I tested the product with a very simple test, and there's no C60 in the product. There's like no C60, and he's claiming that he's made his own type of C60. But C60 is a buckyball. It's a 60 carbon atoms in a sphere. There's no Chris's type of C60 or Krista's type of C60. Mm-hmm. It's one molecule. And the test is really simple. He sells it in sunflower seed oil. And if you put pure C60 in sunflower seed oil, it turns purple. His product is black. And if you filter out the black, which is just amorphous carbon, you're left with a clear sunflower seed oil. If you do that same filtration with purple sunflower seed oil, that because it has C60 in it, purple solution comes through. It's kind of like sugar and sand, right? The sand would stay on top of the filter and the sugar would go through the filter in solution. So yes, you've got to be careful. I was on a Facebook forum just this week, and somebody was like, hey, my product came and it looks very clear and it looks like just pure olive oil. And it, you know, if it looks like pure olive oil, it does not have C60 in it.
Okay, so it should look purple?
So olive oil, because it has kind of green hues, mm-hmm. looks more amber. Sunflower is a little bit clearer, and so it looks purple in sunflower seed oil. Also MCT, it's purple. But what it shouldn't look like is the base oil, right? So if you just take an MCT oil and put it next to MCT with C60 in it, it's not. They need to look different. And in the case of olive oil, it needs to be a darker amber color, because you put green with purple and you get a dark amber color.
Yeah. So because you're a nerd and you want to sit around and wonder, since you're trying to since you're left with this moral dilemma of, okay, now I'm in the supplement industry, but there's all these people that are not doing it very well in the supplement industry. So do you go buy all the C60 and test it and see if it's garbage?
I have been. Yeah. It's
I
one of the things that we're doing. And one of the things, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, from a clinician standpoint, right? We are looking for things that work, right?
Yes.
And that are safe. But it's really, that's a loaded topic. But what we tend to do when people say, how do I pick out this supplement? I find, trusted brands, the end.
Yeah.
I find brands, yes, I trust. So I wonder, this is totally irrelevant to our conversation right now, but I wonder if you're considering partnering with well-known brands on purpose that are trusted by professionals just to do. I know you're capable of doing it on your own, but it's like a uphill slog, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I have a parallel, but we're open to partnering with really with anyone. We're the largest manufacturer and distributor of C60, and so a partnership with some sort of bigger organization would be great. They might be afraid of a couple things. It's a nanotechnology, right? Mm-hmm. I described how many are in a teaspoon that makes some people nervous. Mm-hmm. And to talk about kind of the science side of things, C60, we're planning potentially on putting C60 with CBD, mm-hmm. right? So CBD is just this massive, massive industry. And we're having...
sounds wild, honestly, Chris, because it's two cure-alls, let's put them together.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, it's probably more for marketing, right? Because mm-hmm. there's about 100,000 CBD brands. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
And we're having conversations with people who are supposed to be kind of the root CBD oil suppliers. And we can't get intelligent answers about what's in their product and how they know what's in their product. So we have HPLCs, high-performance liquid chromatography test equipment. We've had it here, since we started the company back in 1991. Again, we don't have to do the math of how long ago that was. And so we're like, hey, if we're going to put CBD with our product, then we want to know what CBD we're putting in there. What is the profile of it? And we can't get, what is the mobile phase on this HPLC analysis that you sent me? And we get answered, and, we can facetiously say it sounds like stoners answering us going, I gave you the paper. If it's not on the paper, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating, right? And I'm sure that's what you deal with, on different types of supplements. Is like, can I go get a reliable source for CBD? Wow, how much investigation do you have to do?
Right. So at the end of the day, you sometimes stand. That's the thing. You have to call, get all the research papers. But that's why. You just find a few that are good, and game over. Work here is done. I now trust these two or three companies. The end. Here's my recommendations for that. Okay. So I know this has been good, and so let's put in a couple more things about C60 that are kind of relevant.
Sure.
I have a note here that because it's an antioxidant, it's quite a bit more, and vitamin C is an antioxidant. You note that it's quite a bit more potent. Is this because there's so much more per, you know, small amount of it, or where does this come from? Where do these numbers come from?
Well, so that's just a small study that was published. And I don't know if you know this, because as I was digging into this, it's actually not easy to get like a study on the antioxidant capability. Mm-hmm. Especially there's kind of two scales. I know one is auric, and then there's another one. And I think the auric doesn't apply to C60 just because the way the test is performed, C60 doesn't work in that environment that way. But what we have, we definitely know that it's an antioxidant. There's other products out there that have significantly higher antioxidant capability. I don't know if you're familiar with Moringa.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's
actually,
like 1,200 or 1,700 times more powerful than vitamin C.
Right.
Now, like how
but
much
that's
of
on
that
the
actually...
auric scale, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, what does that really mean? We don't know. And so, yes, it's, you know, our number is 172 times more powerful than vitamin C. But I would argue there's no study on vitamin C that has extended a life of I don't even know of anything.
Right.
And so it's more of a marketing number than a number, you know, to say
right.
like, oh, well, that's the reason I should be taking
right.
this.
Right. Well, and that's the tricky thing that's hard to wrap your brain around C60 is we're used to talking about things that feel more tangible to us, even though they're micronutrients
yes.
or whatever. We're used
yes.
to thinking of like, okay, I know, like I understand vitamin C and I understand this. And technically you really shouldn't be taking super doses of one thing without knowing what it's going to do to other pieces. But that's a different rabbit hole for another day. But with C60,
yeah.
it's like it was very accidental.
It's totally unknown.
Yeah, it's an accident. You know, it's a
yeah.
it's carbon. It's very molecular. I mean, I don't even
yep.
know if that's proper to say that, but
yes.
it's just different.
Yep.
So it's interesting. It's like a backbone. It's a backbone of things. You know, I don't know.
Yes.
How else to
well,
say.
Yeah. And it's, one, it's nano, right? So
mm-hmm.
most of the micronutrients, although, you know, there's individual molecules floating around, it's not kind of intended to be nano. And so, you know, it has the ability to do a lot of things in the body that other things don't. And, you know, one of the things that were required by the FDA is if we have anybody who reports ill effects, we've got to report that to the FDA.
Right.
And we haven't had to make those reports, right? We're the only thing that we ever get is, you know, it is olive oil. We do sell an original grade and a fine grade. And it's sometimes a finer olive oil will leave a peppery flavor in the back of your mouth,
mm-hmm. sure.
A throat, which goes away with a sip of water. But the two complaints we get are, oh, I don't like that peppery flavor. Some people have even said, is it rancid? And I'm like, you know, if you put something rancid in your mouth, you typically throw up. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with no, it's not rancid. And then the other one is it's just too much oil. You know, a teaspoon of oil for some people is just too much oil.
True.
You know, it just doesn't feel good for some people.
Right. For multiple
other than that,
different reasons.
Yeah, yeah. And other than that, we don't have any side effects.
Mm-hmm. So you've been selling it for a long time, but, you know, and do you think, I guess the question should be, do you think people were buying it to take for human consumption prior to you removing the label for human consumption? Is that, you know, pretty likely? So how long have you been selling it for human consumption? Like a couple years ish?
Yeah. So really it was the YouTube broadcast in October of 2012 that really kind of, well, one, made us clearly aware that people are out there taking it, including this guy who's on YouTube. So people have been taking it. There's one company that we've sold the C60 to since 2012, really shortly after the study came out. And so they've had consumers since 2012.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That makes sense. Well, Chris, I mean, it's going to be an uphill. You know, I've got this episode of a guy. I love this one. The guy who was into beneficial mushrooms. And he tells me about how, you know, in the 70s, he was going to natural health expos. Like, you got to use these adaptogenic mushrooms. And I was like, dude, that must have been really hard. Like, now it's like common knowledge. Let's use. I mean, I think it's
yeah,
more common
yeah.
knowledge in
yeah.
health oriented people, like adaptogenic mushrooms. And I think, oh, my gosh, you were the pioneer in that field. So we'll we'll be able to look forward at Chris and say, hey, you were the pioneer in this field. So I'm totally going to experiment with this, at least dermally, because it's an easy thing that we can do. And I definitely have some like tricky situations where we could use some, we can always use any helpers we can get. So anyway, Chris, thanks.
Well, I'd be happy to send you a couple of bottles. And, you know, if you're interested, you know, we could get back together and talk about kind of the experiences.
Yeah,
that
I think I'm a fan of experimentation. Like, that is my life, is one big experiment, and especially personal experiments. For me, I like to see how things work, so that way I can tell people what to expect. Like, here's how I've seen this work before, no matter what it is. So this will be fun, Chris. I'm looking forward to it. So thanks so much for enlightening us today. Is there like a takeaway, or if I ask you, you know, if someone's kind of interested in this, what's your gut reaction? What do you want to make? What do you want to leave them with?
Okay, well, certainly happy to share. I'd love to give a coupon code if you're okay with that. Mm-hmm. And we can give them, you know, $15 off of a bottle. And I always like to make up, you know, based on our conversation, is there any code that you would like to use?
Yes, we like to use Less Stressed, and we'll put it in the show notes.
Less Stressed. Okay. If your listeners go to myvitalc.com, basically you can buy a bottle for $99 or you can get on subscription for $74. Go ahead and get on subscription. You can cancel it anytime. You save a bunch of money there, and then use Less Stressed as the coupon code and you'll save $15 on your order.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Got it. So Chris, thanks so much for joining us today. People can go to myvitalc.com if they want to learn more, but it sounds like you and I have a little follow-up, and we'll see what we came up with. Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
One of the best gifts you could give us at The Less Stress Life is your feedback. We are paid in podcast reviews. If you enjoyed this or any other episode, please leave us a review. In the iTunes store or from your podcast app, just search for Less Stress Life, as if you're not already subscribed. Click on the banana face image, scroll to the bottom where it shows the text of other reviews, and write a review. While you're there, hey, make sure you hit subscribe. For Android or Stitcher users, you gotta go to the desktop site and search for Less Stress Life, and then scroll down to leave a review. Stitcher doesn't load Apple reviews on their site, so if you want, you can leave a review in both places. Your feedback means a lot to the success of the show. Thanks so much for taking the time to do that. You rock.